Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca Tagg, and this is session 69, and we're going to talk about self-care, and more specifically, our July self-care challenge. Those of you who have been members of the ABA Business Builders Facebook community for a while, or perhaps you've been tuning into the podcast for a while, in which case, big thank you. But these self-care challenges might sound familiar. So the challenge is something that we've done every February and July for the last couple years since being back in southeastern North Carolina. In February, it was called the Treat Yourself, Love Yourself Challenge, and I did a podcast session on that and some videos. And before that, we had another challenge in July, and then before that, another one in February. So again, these are kind of our 2 points in the year when we organize and facilitate a more structured self-care challenge. Of course, do not wait till just these 2 times to be practicing self-care. Ideally, we want to be doing it multiple times throughout the day in a variety of gradients, right? So sometimes there's a big self-care and then little self-care, and size doesn't matter as long as it is self-care. So today we're going to talk about what the challenge is, a little bit about what self-care is, and then how we implement it in my organization, Del Mar Center for Behavioral Health, and then maybe some suggestions of ways that you can participate. So first thing, if you are interested in getting a copy of the calendar to participate in the challenge, you can either find it on the website for the podcast, which is www.thebusinessofbehavior.com, and you click on the podcast link and then click on this specific episode. That'll be important, particularly if you're listening through one of the podcast apps like iTunes or Stitcher, because the extra links and materials resources aren't going to show up there. You can also find it in the ABA Business Builders Facebook group on Facebook. It's been uploaded and shared there. And if you're not a member of either of those, but we are personal friends, I have also shared it on my personal Facebook. So you might be thinking, well, what is this calendar and why is it so important? Well, the calendar outlines the different activities of self-care for the month. And I like to be really clear from the very beginning that self-care is not just massages, pedicures, and eating chocolate, right? Or a glass of wine or whatever kind of comes to mind. Those might be self-care. But remember, as behavior analysts, we really like to look at function versus topography. And that same set of behaviors I just mentioned could be self-care for you and might be the opposite of self-care for me. So I think it's important to be clear on what is self-care. Self-care is behavior, right? It's things that you're doing, done intentionally to take care of yourself in one of the domains of life or one area of your life. So it could be emotionally, it could be physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, or socially. It is not all pretty. Sometimes it's messy, and it's ever so necessary to our health and wellness for all people, but particularly for people in positions where we are leading and serving others. Because that means that we're giving of ourselves in a different way. Because you're giving to yourself to help another person be well or improve in some capacity. And so I think this is important as behavior analysts, psychologists, speech language pathologists, occupational therapists, teachers, nurses, parents, wives, husbands, whatever position or role that you fulfill where you are having to care for, and let me even change that language, right? Because language is powerful, where you are choosing to help another person. We want to be sure that we are taking care of ourselves first. You guys know, probably, unless it's your first time here, that I am a licensed psychologist as well as board certified behavior analyst at the doctoral designation, and a big proponent or supporter, practicer, user of ACT, acceptance commitment therapy. And ACT uses a lot of metaphors. And one of the metaphors is about the importance of putting on your oxygen mask first. And I think it's such an excellent metaphor for self-care. And while the ACT group uses it a ton, this has been around since we've been flying, right? So the flight attendant, as she's going or he's going through the safety spiel, they tell you that the face mask is going to come down from the ceiling and that oxygen is flowing through it, even if it's not inflating, and that you must put your mask on first before you can help somebody else. Because let's play that out, right? So the person next to me, the air mask comes down, and I'm a helper by just nature, right? Nurture, learning, probably how I've been in the world before I even had it as a job. And I want to reach over and affix that mask to the person next to me. The thing is as I'm doing that, I am potentially entering into hypoxia, right? Which is when you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain. And that is not a good place to be. So in my attempt to help somebody else, I'm actually endangering myself. And in my hypoxic state, perhaps I don't affix the mask correctly, or I make it too loose or too tight. And I'm not actually helping the person, even though that's my intent. And it's because I don't have enough oxygen going to my brain first. So self-care is important. And it's not just those massages, pedicures, chocolate, or wine. And I want to talk about that sort of form versus function, right? That topography. What does the behavior look like versus is it serving that function? So an example could be a pedicure. So let's say I book an appointment for myself to go get a pedicure, or I decide last minute I'm going to treat myself and go get a pedicure. And I do it because I have other stuff that I need to be doing that I'm not doing. Perhaps I've been avoiding doing laundry, and it feels uncomfortable to recognize that I haven't done the laundry, and I want to engage in an escape or avoidance from that discomfort of not having done my laundry, and it's piled up around my bedroom. This may or may not be a true story, by the by. And so I want to get out of the house. So I go get a pedicure. Y'all, this is not self-care. This is a maladaptive behavior that's being maintained by the escape and avoidance of something uncomfortable. The real self-care in that situation might be to do the laundry. That doesn't mean that you can only go get a pedicure if your laundry's done. It's that I've got laundry hamper on hamper on hamper that needs done. And it's creating stress in the mornings because I can't find clean clothes. I've considered going to Target and buying a pack of socks so I don't have to do it. And then I'm spending time going to get a pedicure, which is moving me further away from completing the behaviors that would move me towards my values, right? Which is supporting my team, right? So showing up clean and dressed and, ready to start the day. It might also start my day, or it has started my day, poorly because I'm ramming around trying to find clothes in the morning. And when I'm ramming around trying to find those clothes, I'm seeing those hampers, which is a stimulus reminder that I've not done what I needed to do, right? So in that case, a pedicure may not be self-care. Self-care might be doing my laundry, and is. I can actually hear the dryer whirring in the background. I'm on load number 3, which tells you exactly how much laundry I needed to do. Consequently, or as related, maybe not, a slight aside, I'm really good at starting laundry. I can put it into the washer and then I can get it into the dryer. It's that folding it from the dryer and actually putting it in my closet where I get stuck. So I have used behavior analysis as a good behavior analyst today, and I am reinforcing myself, providing reinforcement to the behaviors of completion of the laundry, right? It's not the starting of the laundry I need help with. It's every time I've completed, which for me is folding and putting away the laundry, I'm sort of doing something nice for myself. So I made an iced coffee for myself after the first load, and after the second load, I called my sister and FaceTimed with her and my nephew Raphael. And then after this last one, I'm going to go to the beach for a quick swim. So all the pre-MAC, all the ABA, all the ways, right? So I share that example to be sure that we're clear about what is self-care. Sometimes self-care might be a pedicure, the same topography, right? So let's say I have been working 14-hour days or whatever is a long day for you, been doing a lot of stuff that I don't love at work. I've been keeping up on all of the tasks at home. I haven't been sleeping as well. I really haven't taken any time for me. I've really been focusing on everybody else and getting all of this other stuff done, but nothing for me. In that case, and let's say I really love pedicures and it's summer, so it's sandal season. In that way, going to get a pedicure might be self-care, a way of taking care of yourself when you need to and when you haven't been, right? And it the pedicure is an example, but any set of behaviors can be self-care if it's taking care of you intentionally, not on accident, although accidental is better than none, but it's doing something in an area of your life where you're needing some more reinforcement. You're needing to fill up a bit. So again, self-care is a behavior that you do intentionally to take care of yourself in one way or another. And it can be emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, or socially. And again, it's not all pretty. Setting boundaries is another way to practice self-care. And those are not always pretty, although it's often uglier if we don't, right? So setting, letting somebody know that you're in a relationship with of some kind, that, you know, behavior X is not going to work, that it's, you know, you're not going to tolerate that anymore. You know, maybe for a business owner, a manager, it might be letting your team members know that being late is not acceptable. And that may not be a comfortable conversation. And we got to have it. That's a way to take care of yourself, right? To be sure that you're setting the boundary of what's acceptable and what is not. And so I use the work example. Perhaps in a friendship example, it might be decreasing the frequency of contact for somebody with whom after you interact with them, you're feeling worse. We don't need that, right? Not because the person's not wonderful. I mean, maybe they're not, but maybe they are. But if you're feeling pretty worse afterwards consistently, then maybe that's not a relationship that you want to nurture. And so setting that boundary, whether it's through a direct conversation or through setting a boundary where you're just talking less, that's okay. It's important. It's a way to take care of yourself. It's like protection. You can't see. I talk with my hands and I keep doing these hand gestures. Like I'm putting my arms out in the way that you would in front of you to like protect something in front of you. And self-care is really like that. It's protecting our resources, whether that's, again, financial, emotional, physical, mental, whatever it is, we're protecting us. That's important because remember, if our oxygen mask isn't on first, with oxygen getting to our brain, we really are not in a great place to help other people. I think about it behavior analytically as almost like a setting event intervention, right? So setting events, you probably know what they are. And they're it's really something that changes, even momentarily, the value of reinforcers and punishers in your life, right? So a setting event that occurs might explain or be related to why a certain problem behavior occurs certain times and not other times. So an example for a kiddo, right? Because we can start with the parallel process that seems safer to talk about or feels more comfortable to talk about, could be when a child doesn't get enough sleep. And so she comes into the clinic that day and we're seeing a lot more work refusal, right? So she's verbally refusing to complete work when we're presenting it. I'm like, gosh, this doesn't usually happen. What might be happening? And we learn that she didn't sleep well the night before and she got up at 4 a.m. And so she hasn't had enough sleep. That may be a setting event, right? It is something that occurs that changes the way the person behaves. There's you know, different setting events, like minimizing it or eliminating it, neutralizing it, adding more prompts for the desired behavior, increasing the power of those reinforcers temporarily, or promoting positive interactions. So if we think about that example with our little gal at the clinic, we might, of course, ideally minimize that setting event. So we'd want her to get some sleep. We might neutralize it by, I don't know what might be neutralizing it. We might have her get a nap or, get a nap, right? We also might add more prompts for the behavior. So we might set up the environment to increase the likelihood of compliance, decrease the likelihood of that non-compliant behavior, right? So those verbal protests is kind of how we describe that in the example. We are going to want to use more reinforcement to kind of build up her compliance. So what about for us? You're like, yeah. I already know about what to do with the little gal. But what about us? So could the setting event be a lack of self-care? So spending more time doing things for other people all the time, right? So helping others is great and can become problematic when it's in exclusion or when we are excluding caring for ourselves. That could be a setting event for snapping at other people, not getting enough sleep on our own, decreased monitoring of some of our programs, decreased or more negative interactions with those that we care about. So I use kind of the snapping example, but that could be with employees, colleagues, your husband, wife, partner, children, dog, right? I noticed last week I was feeling, that's not true. I noticed I was snapping more at my dog. One of my dogs barks more than the other and it is aggravating, but I was noticing myself yelling at him like, shut up, dog. And that is not usually how I react. And upon noticing that, right, so self-monitoring, self-management, I said, what else is going on? And I realized I've done some really long days in the last week and picked up some additional slack and hadn't picked up some additional self-care activities to compensate or make balance out the additional tasks I had done. So noticing those behaviors in me, right? So I've got those loads of laundry upstairs. I was doing extra work. It was just a lot extra. And I hadn't increased my self-care activities. And so I noticed that and I said, all right, self. So spent some time in the last couple days prioritizing self-care so that I can decrease the likelihood of those maladaptive behaviors occurring. So snapping at, you know, yelling at poor little Hauser or snapping at my husband or not doing the laundry or even not setting the boundary of not being able to pick up some of the extra stuff. That's okay. Setting boundaries is self-care. Saying yes to everything is not self-care, right? So just a little booster on self-care. Now back to the challenge. So the challenge is a calendar that I created, and on each day, there is an activity of self-care to engage in. I'm looking at it now. It's sort of a blue color. It's nothing fancy, right? And each day, each square has a little something listed. So for tomorrow, which would be Monday the 1st, it's think of one big goal for the month. Think about the pros and cons and worries around that goal. You're going to commit to doing that goal this month, and it won't be today. So that is an example of kind of the longer term goal for the month. And then periodically throughout the month, that goal is referenced. And then on one day near the end of the month, the space says, do the big goal for the month. So we've got that longer term goal that's kind of month long. Because sometimes we need a pep talk. Sometimes we need to even just think about doing that goal before we actually take action. That's okay. It's actually important to process wherever you are in relation to each of those goals, particularly those bigger ones. And they're usually ones that are more important. And because they're more important, we maybe have some more anxiety around. And they're usually maybe more difficult. They'll take some more response effort on our end. Then Tuesday, we have do something to help yourself get more or better rest. Rest is important. And so some options might be going to bed earlier, no phone in bed, no TV in bed, change your sheets, anything like that. So Tuesday's focus is on getting better rest. Rest is important. And so I'm not going to read through all of them, but they're all on here. There's one for each day for the 31 days of July. And I encourage you to participate. And if you choose to, I'd love to hear about it in whatever way feels comfortable for you. It doesn't have to be, hey, Dr. Becca, I went to bed with new sheets. I'm certainly open to hearing that if you want to share. And if you want to just say, I participated, I appreciate that too. Which leads me to talk a little bit about how we, as an organization at Del Mar, do these challenges. So if you've listened to some of our other podcasts, you know that wellness is one of our values of our organization. And so we always want staff to be doing something to take care of themselves at minimum every week. Minimum, because we ask about it every week in our weekly check-ins that I talk about in one of the other podcast sessions. And so we simply ask, have you participated or have you engaged in a self-care activity this week? And then they either say yes or no, and then that's tied to our bonus card. The way we kick it up a notch for July is we have identified three team members who are basically golden ticket holders, although it's green tickets because we picked green for the month, mainly because that was the paper that we had an excess of at the clinic. And we cut it into small strips. And these three team members have these green strips with them all the time. And so when another team member has engaged in the activity for the day, they go up to the person. So Brittany B is one of our team members, and she's excellent, and she's an RBT. And if I am the staff person, I walk up to Brittany B and I say, Brittany, I participated in the self-care challenge for today. And she says, way to go, Dr. Becca. It's important to take care of yourself. And she hands me a green slip of paper, and I put my name on it, and I fold it in half, and I drop it in this self-care tank that we have upstairs in our staff suite. And so we do this all month long. If you engage in it every day, if you participate every day, you have 31 entries into that self-care tank. And everybody participates. It's not just for one set of staff. Then, periodically throughout the month, or three times to be specific, each of those golden ticket holders will make a drawing from the self-care tank, and whoever's name is selected wins one of the mystery motivators. So if you aren't familiar with mystery motivators, I have a podcast session on them, I think, or maybe it's a YouTube video, but basically, there's three awesome things that are in envelopes and labeled, you know, 1, 2, 3, much like on the Wheel of Fortune, right? Isn't that the one where there's the, you get to select something, you're not sure what it is till you select it. I'm not sure. That sounded right. And then as I'm talking it out, I might be mistaken. So it's three envelopes labeled 1, 2, 3. If your name is selected, then you get to pick one of the envelopes and you get what's inside the envelope. There's a wide range of things. So in February, we had money, we had a gift certificate to one of the salons in our area, and I think the other one was a massage gift certificate. So it's like reinforcement on reinforcement, right? So when you're practicing self-care, we are setting up ourselves to be in a place to decrease the likelihood of our maladaptive behaviors, because we all have them. Let's also be very clear about that. It's not, let's not pathologize that to just our kids with autism or developmental delays or whatever population you're working with. We all engage in them. And so when we can take care of ourselves better, we're setting ourselves up to be in a place where we engage in more desired behaviors, more adaptive behaviors, more behaviors, right, that are committed action towards our values. Gosh, and that makes us feel so good. That's wellness, right? And so I want that for everybody. I want that for myself. And so the self-care challenge, you're participating in these different activities. And then at our organization, you get this little ticket. And then we're doing drawings to help motivate people to participate. I hope that's helpful. I hope that it's something of interest. And even if you choose not to implement it the way we do, I think there's no wrong way to do it other than to not emphasize the importance of wellness for yourself and your staff. And it's important to model that, right? So as an owner, my name doesn't go into the bin the self-care tank, and I'm absolutely participating. And I might post on Yammer when I do one of the activities. And I encourage our staff that when they're engaging in one of them, if it feels comfortable and it's appropriate, snap a picture of yourself and put it on Yammer, right? It's another way to really embed the importance of self-care and engaging in those self-care behaviors in practice, not just in discussion, like do it, right? Walk the walk, not just talk the talk, that committed action towards values. And so it really builds and breeds this culture of taking care of ourselves for the month. We intentionally pick July, just like we intentionally pick February. July tends to be a calm month. I hate to even say that for fear that I'm tempting fate, but in June is when our kids transition out of school. And we see mostly kids who attend school in some capacity or another. So it's after that transition and then before the somewhat nuttiness of August when kids return to school. We're also located here in southeastern North Carolina where Camp Lejeune is. And so June tends to be a big PCS season, or permanent change in station is what PCS stands for. And so we've just had a bunch of kids transition out, and that's really hard for staff and myself, not just a them, but also an us, a we. It's the same for me. It's exciting to bring on new kids. And it's exciting to reflect on how far some of the kids and families have come. And there's a sadness about, separating from the kids that we've served and the families that we've served. And particularly because it's not like a friendship when somebody moves and you continue to stay in touch. It really is the ending of a relationship. And it's also an important part of our job to uphold those boundaries. And so I like to do the self-care challenge in July because it tends to be a period where we have a bit less happening, and it comes immediately after and immediately before two periods that can be somewhat challenging or additionally taxing, right? When it's extra important to not be in a state of hypoxia. We need all that oxygen. As always, time is one of our most valuable resources because it's so limited. And I so appreciate those of you that are choosing to spend time with me, Dr. Becca Tagg, on the Business of Behavior podcast, or in our coaching sessions, or emails and messages in the ABA Business Builders Facebook group. I really appreciate that, because when we're choosing to spend time or energy or resources in one place, it means we're choosing not to spend it somewhere else. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.